Recently, I spoke to several hundred executives over Zoom. It was one of those days when the news was particularly hard to swallow, and I felt like I needed a hug. At the same time, I had spent an hour talking to these folks, and even though they were thousands of miles away and on a Zoom screen, I felt connected to them and wanted to give them a hug as well. And then at the end of my keynote, I asked them to put their left hand over their heart, their right hand over their left hand, and to give themselves a squeeze. The chat blew up. Stay tuned to hear more about this week's episode and why self-compassion is so critical to our relationship with food, our relationship with our bodies, and to our relationship with ourselves. Welcome back to Health Bite. I'm your host, Dr. Adrienne Udeem. I'm a triple board certified internist, obesity medicine, and physician nutrition specialist. And I help people like you redefine nutrition to include not only the food that we eat, but all the ways that we can nourish ourselves physically, mentally, and emotionally. So back to my story. I basically asked these executives over Zoom to give themselves a hug, and the response was explosive. I feel like I know through the many years of working with humans what it is that people are struggling with and what it is they need. I believe I'm empathetic and intuitive, and so my antennas are always up to the people around me, and I have a sense for what I feel like people are longing for these days. And in short, I think everyone needs a hug. And yet, I am floored when I witness the response to this small gesture of self-compassion. Self-compassion becomes particularly important in our moments of self-discomfort, when we experience our own setbacks and shortcomings. And sadly, there is so much discomfort around our bodies and our relationship with food, which is why a self-compassion practice is so critical. I have always promoted self-compassion in my practice with patients on their journey to healthier weight and better health in general. From my experience, I know that we are better able to overcome our challenges and meet our goals, whatever they may be, when we act from a place of self-compassion and self-acceptance. And a study that was shared by my friend Wendy last week makes this point beautifully. In a study of 140 people diagnosed to be overweight or to have obesity, showed that higher levels of self-compassion and self-kindness in particular was associated with reduced negative feelings following a dietary setback. And this was critical to them pursuing their weight loss goals and journey. These 140 participants who were trying to lose weight through a group-based lifestyle modification program were asked to respond to surveys multiple times a day to report whether they had experienced a dietary lapse or had eaten more than they had intended, a food that they didn't intend to eat, or at a time that they didn't intend, and the extent to which they were responding to that lapse with self-compassion. The researchers also asked participants about their moods and how well they had been able to practice self-control over eating and exercise after the last survey they responded to. And this is what they found. People who practiced self-kindness felt less guilty and more positive about themselves despite the setback. And afterwards, they reported feeling more in command of their eating habits, suggesting that self-compassion can help people feel a sense of agency after a dietary lapse. Not surprisingly, they also reported better mood overall as compared to the group who did not practice self-compassion. And for me, this study counters that notion that being kind to ourselves makes us complacent or lazy. How many of you have thought that before? Like, this self-compassion nonsense makes me complacent. The truth is that it builds resilience. Self-compassion counters the negative and self-defeating self-talk that sabotages us in pursuing our goals, be it weight loss goals or our goals in general. And that really is the beauty of this work, which is that when we come to terms with our relationship with food, it's in fact a mirror for our relationship with ourselves. And in doing so, we come to terms with that deeper relationship. And to that point, we can take this teaching out into our greater life goals, meeting ourselves where we are at with self-kindness, self-love, and self-compassion allows us to persevere following any setback so that we can get back to the work of hitting our goals. I also want to highlight that the mood scores went up. This is a huge quality of life bonus. Think about all the ways that we try to boost our moods: supplements, medications, therapies, and all of our dopamine chasing responses like eating, drinking, smoking. And what about the spin of how our positive mood impacts how we act in our relationships, in our workplaces, heck, even in our drives to work? Can you see how compassion towards ourselves is actually an act of compassion to the greater good? So let's review what self-compassion is. Self-compassion involves treating ourselves with kindness and understanding, especially in times of struggle, self-doubt, or failure. There are three main components of self-compassion. One, self-kindness. Two, acknowledging our common humanity. And three, mindfulness. Rather than harshly criticizing ourselves for our perceived flaws or mistakes, we can practice self-kindness. We can offer ourselves comfort and understanding the way we would our friend, the way we would a child. We can understand our common humanity, reminding ourselves that we are not alone. All humans experience setbacks. All humans have limitations. All humans make mistakes. All humans experience roadblocks to achieving their goals. It is part of being human. Third, mindfulness. And mindfulness in this context is being aware so that we don't over-identify with the negative beliefs that come from hitting our limitations. No, we are not flawed, incapable, doomed, or any of the millions of other ways that we judge and criticize ourselves. We can choose not to buy into that belief. And in doing so, we bolster ourselves up. We build resilience to our shortcomings and our mistakes, allowing ourselves to persevere. When it comes to nutrition, self-compassion can be a game changer. Many of us have experienced moments of guilt or shame surrounding our food choices or our body image. However, self-compassion offers an alternative approach, one that is rooted in self-acceptance and understanding. By practicing self-compassion, we can release ourselves from perfectionism and cultivate a more balanced and flexible relationship with food. Again, setbacks are a natural part of any journey, including our relationship with food. Whether it is overeating at a holiday gathering or veering off track, setbacks are a natural part of any journey, including our relationship with food. Whether it's overeating at a holiday gathering or veering off track from our nutrition goals during an extended vacation, setbacks can trigger feelings of self-criticism and discouragement. But by embracing self-compassion, we can respond to setbacks with kindness and resilience. Instead of berating ourselves for perceived failures, we can acknowledge our humanity, learn from our experiences with gentleness and grace, and quite frankly, just move on. Perfectionism, it's a barrier. It can be a significant barrier to cultivating this healthy relationship with food. And let's face it, to a healthy relationship with ourselves. When we strive for this unattainable ideal through rigid dietary rules, guilt, a constant sense of inadequacy, we essentially set ourselves up for failure. You cannot achieve perfection. It is an unattainable ideal. And so striving for perfection in of itself is setting ourselves up. However, self-compassion, it offers an antidote to that perfectionism. By embracing our imperfections and treating ourselves with kindness, we can break free from the cycle of self-judgment and engage in more balanced and a forgiving approach to nutrition. I cannot stress this enough. And I see this in my own medical practice all the time and in my own relationship with food and really all the goals that I have strived in. Perfectionism has always been a barrier, whereas self-compassion and kindness has been a vessel, a road, a pathway towards building resilience and ultimately achieving our goals. What about our perception of our bodies? That's something we really have to bring up because our bodies deserve to be treated with respect and appreciation. When was the last time you offered your body respect and appreciation? Unfortunately, the struggle with negative body image is so common. In one study, nearly 78% of college-age girls expressed dissatisfaction with their bodies. In another study, 53% of 13-year-olds stated that they were unhappy with their bodies. Guys, we are talking about 13-year-olds. And not surprisingly, this was associated with a higher incidence of mental health issues, including depression. And of course, boys and men are not immune. However, what this study and many have shown is that through a practice of self-compassion, we can cultivate a kinder, more loving relationship with our bodies. By offering ourselves the same feeling, the same sentiment of care that we would extend to a friend, we can foster a sense of gratitude and acceptance for the bodies that we inhabit. And by the way, we can role model to our children and teach it to them as well. I have so many parents who come in and talk to me about their children's negative self-image, asking me what is it that they can do. I'll tell you this, that saying without showing, telling them one thing and role modeling something different through our own lack of kindness towards ourselves does not work. The only way that we can impart a healthy relationship on our children with food and with their bodies is that if we do the hard work of developing that positive relationship ourselves. So I encourage you to reflect on the role that self-compassion plays in your relationship with food and your own body image. And extend this to how self-compassion is important and how we view ourselves in general. By embracing this, we can transform our mindset and nourish ourselves with kindness, understanding, and acceptance. And an extra bonus is that then we are better able to pursue our goals with our health and otherwise with greater resilience and effectiveness overall. I really hope that you take this message to heart. And should you be willing to learn how to do this more concretely, I encourage you to go back to past episodes. We'll link them here in the show notes, where I take you through step by step a self-compassion practice. I'm wishing you a happy and healthy week filled with love and compassion for yourself. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you here again next week on Health Bite.